The letter of Paul the Apostle to the Romans.
Brothers, all of you understand the law of Moses. So surely you know that the law rules over a person only while he is alive. For example, a woman must stay married to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, then she is free from the law of marriage. But if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, the law says she is guilty of adultery. But if her husband dies, then the woman is free from the law of marriage. So if she marries another man after her husband dies, she is not guilty of adultery. In the same way, my brothers, your old selves died, and you became free from the law through the body of Christ. Now you belong to someone else. You belong to the one who was raised from death. We belong to Christ so that we can be used in service to God. In the past, we were ruled by our sinful selves. The law made us want to do sinful things, and those sinful things we wanted to do controlled our bodies, so that the things we did were only bringing us death. In the past, the law held us like prisoners. But our old selves died, and we were made free from the law. So now we serve God in a new way, not in the old way with written rules. Now we serve God in the new way, with the Spirit. You might think that I am saying that sin and the law are the same thing. That is not true. But the law was the only way I could learn what sin meant. I would never have known what it means to want something wrong if the law had not said, "You must not want to take your neighbor's things." And sin found a way to use that command and cause me to want every kind of wrong thing. So sin came to me because of that command. But without the law, sin has no power. I was alive without the law before I knew the law. But when the law's command came to me, then sin began to live, and I died because of sin. The command was meant to bring life, but for me that command brought death. Sin found a way to fool me by using the command. Sin used the command to make me die. So the law is holy, and the command is holy and right and good. Does this mean that something that is good brought death to me? No. Sin used something that is good to bring death to me. This happened so that I could see what sin is really like. The command was used to show that sin is something very evil. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am not spiritual. Sin rules me as if I were its slave. I do not understand the things I do. I do not do the good things I want to do. And I do the bad things I hate to do. And if I do not want to do the bad things I do, then that means that I agree that the law is good. But I am not really the one who is doing these bad things. It is sin living in me that does these things. Yes, I know that nothing good lives in me. I mean, nothing good lives in the part of me that is earthly and sinful. I want to do the things that are good, but I do not do them. I do not do the good things that I want to do. I do the bad things that I do not want to do. So if I do things I do not want to do, then I am not the one doing those things. It is sin living in me that does those bad things. So I have learned this rule. When I want to do good, evil is there with me. In my mind, I am happy with God's law. But I see another law working in my body. That law makes war against the law that my mind accepts. That other law working in my body is the law of sin. And that law makes me its prisoner. What a miserable man I am. Who will save me from this body that brings me death? God will. I thank Him for saving me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in my mind, I am a slave to God's law. But in my sinful self, I am a slave to the law of sin. So now, those who are in Christ Jesus are not judged guilty. I am not judged guilty because in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit that brings life made me free. It made me free from the law that brings sin and death. The law was without power because the law was made weak by our sinful selves. But God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son to earth with the same human life that others use for sin. He sent His Son to be an offering to pay for sin. So God used the human life to destroy sin. He did this so that we could be right, as the law said we must be. Now we do not live following our sinful selves, but we live following the Spirit. Those who live following their sinful selves think only about the things that their sinful selves want. But those who live following the Spirit are thinking about the things that the Spirit wants them to do. If a person's thinking is controlled by his sinful self, then there is death. But if his thinking is controlled by the Spirit, then there is life and peace. This is true because if a person's thinking is controlled by his sinful self, then he is against God. He refuses to obey God's law. And really, he is not able to obey God's law. Those people who are ruled by their sinful selves cannot please God. But you are not ruled by your sinful selves. You are ruled by the Spirit, if that Spirit of God really lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, then he does not belong to Christ. Your body will always be dead because of sin. But if Christ is in you, then the Spirit gives you life, because Christ made you right with God. God raised Jesus from death. And if God's Spirit is living in you, then He will also give life to your bodies that die. God is the one who raised Christ from death. And He will give life through His Spirit that lives in you. So, my brothers, we must not be ruled by our sinful selves. We must not live the way our sinful selves want. If you use your lives to do the wrong things your sinful selves want, then you will die spiritually. But if you use the Spirit's help to stop doing the wrong things you do with your body, then you will have true life. The true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. The Spirit that we received is not a spirit that makes us slaves again to fear. The Spirit that we have makes us children of God. And with that Spirit, we say, Father, dear Father. And the Spirit Himself joins with our spirits to say that we are God's children. If we are God's children, then we will receive the blessings God has for us. We will receive these things from God together with Christ. But we must suffer as Christ suffered, and then we will have glory as Christ has glory. We have sufferings now, but the sufferings we have now are nothing compared to the great glory that will be given to us. Everything that God made is waiting with excitement for the time when God will show the world who His children are. The whole world wants very much for that to happen. Everything that God made was changed to become useless. This was not by its own wish. It happened because God wanted it. But there was this hope that everything God made would be set free from ruin. There was hope that everything God made would have the freedom and glory that belonged to God's children. We know that everything God made has been waiting until now in pain, like a woman ready to give birth. Not only the world, but we also have been waiting with pain inside us. We have the Spirit as the first part of God's promise. So we are waiting for God to finish making us His own children. I mean, we are waiting for our bodies to be made free. We were saved, and we have this hope. If we see what we are waiting for, then that is not really hope. People do not hope for something they already have. But we are hoping for something that we do not have yet. We are waiting for it patiently. Also, the Spirit helps us. We are very weak, but the Spirit helps us with our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself speaks to God for us, even begs God for us. The Spirit speaks to God with deep feelings that words cannot explain. God can see what is in people's hearts, and He knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit speaks to God for His people in the way that God wants. We know that in everything God works for the good of those who love Him. They are the people God called, because that was His plan. God knew them before He made the world, and God chose them to be like His Son. Then Jesus would be the firstborn of many brothers. God planned for them to be like His Son, and those He planned to be like His Son, He also called. And those He called, He also made right with Him. And those He made right, He also glorified. So what should we say about this? If God is for us, then no one can defeat us. God let even His own Son suffer for us. God gave His Son for us all. So with Jesus, God will surely give us all things. Who can accuse the people that God has chosen? No one. God is the one who makes them right. Who can say that God's people are guilty? No one. Christ Jesus died, but that is not all. He was also raised from death. And now He is on God's right side and is begging God for us. Can anything separate us from the love Christ has for us? Can troubles or problems or sufferings? If we have no food or clothes, if we are in danger, or even if death comes, can any of these things separate us from Christ's love? as it is written in the scriptures. For you, we are in danger of death all the time. People think we are worth no more than sheep to be killed. But in all these things, we have full victory through God who showed his love for us. Yes, I am sure that nothing can separate us from the love God has for us. Not death, not life, not angels, not ruling spirits, nothing now, nothing in the future, no powers, nothing above us, nothing below us, or anything else in the whole world will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.